right, let's get her going. Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. Yeah, you left a book outside, and Jeff Blair's saying, you know, he thought maybe you had forgotten it or something.
No, I just had read it, and now it's free to the public. Anyone can have it.
Not really.
Not entirely true, but it's still free to the public.
No, it's not. Look at our chat line. I sent you a picture.
Oh, what did you do?
Book.
What did you do? You have money on it now?
What's that? read the sign.
Free. Actually changed my mind. $10, Justin Bourne.
Yes, I fixed your sign.
You know, it's not the first time in our career that I've said something is free, and you said, you can't do that for free.
I've been working with you for 4 years trying to get you to understand value.
You really have.
And your value.
You know, and I'm grateful for that.
But your first instinct is free.
Maybe I don't respect myself. Is this a therapy session? Is this a therapy intervention we're having?
I think $10 for that book is a good deal.
It's, I mean, 30% of...
what is it?
$40? Price.
$30 or $40?
Don't even know.
What's a book cost?
I think $35 for it. Justin Bourne's book was $36 for the hardcover.
Last book I bought was your book.
For those of you that forget, we are live on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Sometimes I forget that. Yeah. Sometimes our conversations, like the one we just had 30 seconds ago, can prove that we forget sometimes.
Right. Good start.
We're also on Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus.
Yes.
All right. Great show today. Gord Stellick will join us in about half an hour.
Awesome.
And then at 5 p.m. when we go national, we go deep in the valley. Steve Alliquette, analyst for the New York Rangers, MSG, and will be breaking us down what he's seen in the first few games out of certain goaltenders, including Joseph Woll.
Hasn't seen much out of him.
Stolarz.
Yeah.
And the Hildebeest.
And everyone else around the league. We got Allmark showing up in Ottawa. The Valley has lots of stuff for us. So I always look forward to those conversations.
So, Sammy, I take it Kipper's Clippers might be a little dry today, or did Coach Berube talk?
Dry as a bone. So
Coach Berube did talk.
I did.
And
he
it's
did.
Dry as a bone.
I will say that I came to the realization today when I arrived at the office around noon. You know, what a life, by the way. Just showing up and waking up at the crack of 8 a.m. every day, showing up to work at noon. Great life. But that we are maybe going to have to get a little bit creative with our first segments. Because, you know, like we talked about last week when the Leafs played the Devils, Sheldon Keefe did a lot of our work for us in terms of providing, you know, 10 to 15 minutes every morning of him talking about stuff. And us, Berube talked for 2:40 today. Half of it was updates on Willie feeling sick, so he's on a practice. John Tavares is feeling better, so he's at practice. Looked a little lethargic because he was sick. And then talked about Joe Woll. Made a weird comment about the power play drill that they were doing that's really not visual. And then here we are. Max Pacioretty likes to shoot. That's why he'd be good on a power play. And okay. That was the breakdown of what he had to say today.
Okay. Thank you for the AI summary of...
So we had an orthopedic surgeon on job. Last week, Dr. Jason Smith. Do we need to get a flu doctor?
Maybe.
Just to break down, like, what are the signs here?
Doctor?
Could be.
Doctor.
Besides a runny nose, what else can we look forward to?
Seems like they got some issues. It's going through the clubhouse right now. But, yeah, Nylander absent. Hopefully he's available tomorrow. JT's back.
Yeah.
So did you have one clip that excited you?
No. But I got one clip. It didn't excite me, but it's a clip.
Right.
It's about Joseph Woll, which is the great mystery and one of the only things that really came out of practice here. So, Derek, if we could listen to the clip from Berube on Joe Woll.
Yeah, he's improving. Like, you know, I think he went out there again on the ice today. No issues after yesterday on the ice, which is great news. So, you know, there's a good chance he could be with us in practice tomorrow morning.
Good chance he could be in practice. Doesn't sound like good chance he's playing in the hockey match.
I saw David Alter sent out a tweet about it saying that he doesn't appear close to returning, and Woll was on the ice with goaltender coach Curtis Sanford,
okay,
but didn't field any hockey shots. No shots with the puck towards him, but he was on the ice. So
Ooh.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound great.
So it's clear that even if he gets a pain-free practice on Tuesday, it's not enough to start him on Wednesday.
No.
But take a look at the schedule.
Past so much that
because it goes, it's quiet this week for the Leafs, which you can tell by the energy of our show.
Hey, no. Let's come on up in here. How about that Marner contract? Listen,
we got the first ever edition of True or False coming up here.
We do.
I invented this game today, and it's very, very high, you know, IQ invention by your boy over here. True or false questions, but we have the first ever edition.
So, right. Judging by your hat,
yeah.
You most definitely watched the football game last night.
Not a ton of it, to be honest.
And now you thought about this game like 3 hours ago. Yes. That's what you're telling me. What? That's the prep that you put into it.
You know
it.
When I did think of this, when I thought of it, when I went on our wonderful Sportsnet website and I pulled the audio from Craig Berube and saw that he spoke for 2 minutes, I'm like, well,
here we go.
We're going to need a game.
we're going to need a creativity engine.
So I recreated it about 2 hours ago. So yeah, but... Before we get into it, like, you're talking about next week. They play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday next week.
Ooh, it's a great week for
So is Stolarz going to play three of the games? Because it's pretty obvious he plays tomorrow, he plays Saturday, and then how do they break it up?
He'll play Wednesday, Saturday, and then one of Monday, Tuesday, mm-hmm. and then Wohl's got to be back by then. By Monday, Tuesday, he's got to be back.
Okay.
Right, he's on the ice, he's practicing, he's feeling good. Give him a few days here.
So this Saturday, Rangers.
Yeah.
No Wohl?
No Wohl.
I mean, if he's still not taking shots even, Kip.
No. He might practice tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. And so if he takes shots tomorrow.
If he's
Is that how you want to start him against one of the best offenses in the league on Hockey Night in Canada?
Saturday night at home? Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
No, you're right. There's no good time to start getting... Get going.
Stolarz, both games this week for me.
Yeah? Regardless?
Regardless. He's been good. He's played, you know, they have Wednesday and then Saturday. I think he can play those two games, and then you figure it out next week. Yep. So then Monday night is against Tampa, and then Tuesday's in Columbus on the second half of back-to-back. To me, that's a good spot for either Hill to be or Wohl in the second half of the back-to-back against Columbus, and then you go from there.
So, okay.
There you go.
That sounds good.
Goaltending.
We do have one other clip. Max Pacioretty weighed in on the comments that Sam made, the power play.
Mm.
Are you interested in what Max has to say about that?
We do. Do we want to just mention quickly what the power play now looks like with Tavares back in?
Yes. Let's do it.
All right.
But then it's hard because Nylander was away again today. So then you don't really know fully what it's going to look like. But yeah.
Today at practice is OEL at the top. Matthews, Marner, Pacioretty, Tavares. So, gotta believe Patches is in for Nylander there, mm-hmm. and just OEL in for Riley is the switch. But I am interested that Tavares is back there and Nyes is not. I do feel Berube falling in love with Nyes. Let's listen to what Max Pacioretty has to say about that.
I mean, there's some chances, and then you get frustrated, and you probably overcomplicate things, and it's just a matter of, you know, good players trying to make a difference. Great players trying to make a difference, but you know, the skill on this power play, it's bound to happen. It's going to come, and then once it does come, confidence takes over and goals start pouring in. So while, you know, I'm being asked about this, it's really not a concern in my mind, in the sense where I know what we have in this room, and these are some of the most elite players in the world, and it's going to come.
Boy, Patches knows how to love the boys up in the media, doesn't he?
He was going
to
say, this is the best I've ever seen, and then he stopped it. He was.
Yeah, for sure.
If you go back and listen to that clip, he was about to say, this is the best I've ever seen.
Or ever been a part of.
And then he was like, wow, I already said that it was the hardest group I've ever been a part of. I think he maybe caught himself a little bit.
He wants to be positive for the boys.
He's excited. He's happy to be here.
But it is kind of tricky now for Berube, because I think the intent all along is to get a second unit feeling like they're not on Team B, mm-hmm. which he's been able to do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the likes of Nick Robertson and few others have had ample opportunity on a power play that they never saw the light of day, really, with Sheldon. Mm-hmm. But the tricky part moving forward now is finding a way to get the big boys going and maintaining that. Because the longer they go with the struggling power play, the less chance you have of pulling them off the ice after 50 seconds.
Like, what do you mean? The longer they go with it?
Yeah, the longer they struggle, the more they're going to want to stay out there for one more rush.
Right.
Right? So what's been a hard 50, 55 seconds in coming off, you run the risk of one of them saying, listen,
we got to get one.
I'm feeling the heat right now. I mean, I'm making 13, 12 sheets, 11 sheets here, and I got to put a puck in the net here.
The Leafs power play is one of three or four teams that has zero goals so far. They haven't shot one in yet. But to me, the Craig Berube coming here was going to be all about actual merit, actual rewards and punishment based on what happens.
That word, that's great to say, but it doesn't really work that way.
Well, then what are we doing?
No.
Then but you should have kept Keith.
Yeah.
No. You're right. It is, but...
But...
You also look at a guy, again,
who's making...
You got to get your stars going, and you got to be sympathetic to them a little bit of the pressure that they feel making so much money, and you're going to... there's a gray area there somewhere. That's all I'm saying, is that you're kind of caught between the message that you're trying to send, as you had just alluded to, and the one that says, okay, just maybe another 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, you're supposed to be the guys that are leading this charge on this power play.
Do you think Morgan Riley would be pissed about game four? He's already off the power play. Do you think he feels misunderstood, wronged?
I think it's just happened so often now. He's learned how to manage it. And how many times have they come back to him?
Yeah. He's like, you'll be back.
You'll come crawling.
Just like the rest of them.
You'll come crawling back.
This is a perfect spot to go with true or false.
Whoa.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
How many you got of these?
I got a bunch. More than we need, but I got a bunch.
Okay, I spent seven trues and three falses.
This is how Kip did school. There's no one here to take this for you.
The first one is, will the Leafs finish the season with a top five power play unit in the league?
That's
is that true
or false?
False
at all?
True or false?
Okay, they'll finish the... top five power play this year, false.
They were seventh last year.
I'll go sixth this year.
Sixth? So false.
Wow. Classic cop-out.
False.
I just think they'll catch fire at some point here, and it'll be good enough to get them into the top five. They're always floating around it. And
really, you go 2 for 3 tomorrow night, and you're like right on track.
Yes.
OEL will have to be that guy then.
Yeah.
For that to happen.
Yeah, and I think he is, don't you? Like, I really...
Oh, I haven't seen enough of it to definitively say that they're...
The one
They're going to be a top five. I haven't seen enough of it.
The one wild card for me is Nyes. What Nyes going to be this year? Is he going to be disappointing where he gets 46 points? And, you know, is just this strong guy, or does he become a guy that they get the puck to in front of the net? He's been a finisher in his life. Like, if he becomes a presence on the power play, they could get there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Second question.
Top five PP, both Kip and I on false.
Okay. Max Pacioretty gets both of his bonuses this year after 9 games and after 35 games.
Great question. Oh, that's great producing.
Thank you.
So he makes, is it 300 grand?
I think so,
313 grand for playing 10 and 313 more for playing 35. Those are his contract bonuses, which will go against next year's salary cap, which they don't want to pay him unless they're getting value.
Mm-hmm.
Thus far,
yeah.
Is he going to get in 35 hockey games?
Yeah,
10 games?
I think the team's strong enough that he could kind of ride this out all season.
I don't like the implication there. You don't think he's going to play well? He's just the team's good enough
that he can
hide? Oh, I think
there's going to be some nights he's just going to be, not great. But I think the the lineup again is strong enough that he can find a way to chip in, I don't know,
yeah,
15 goals.
I also...
Which keeps him around and keeps him hitting those benchmarks.
I think yes. I think I agree with you that he does get there. I feel like they're looking to have a layer of scoring past the big four guys.
Yeah.
He, if he's healthy, he kind of does the right things in a way that a veteran coach would keep him around.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. He's got that sense to shoot in 10 or 15 over the course of the year.
One of the clips we didn't get to yesterday was Berube talking about Patch Ready's start to the season. So we have it. We can play it. And then you guys can listen off of what he says here. Here you go.
A little up and down, but overall not bad. Like, I mean, he got a big goal in Jersey, which was good. That's, you know, his bread and butter around the net and scoring goals and things like that. You know, they're like the last game, I thought that him, Holmberg, and McMahon had a good third period in that game, just with their strength down low in the offensive zone and killing time, hanging on to pucks, creating, you know, a couple opportunities here and there. Nothing too great, but it was... you know, possessing time in the offensive zone with their big bodies. So, that you know, that's got to be a big part of his game.
Ooh.
So,
does that clip change your true or false?
Do you have a true or false around Nick Robertson?
I do. I do have a
true one. Because it ties into Max Pacioretty for me.
Okay. I will say that he said little up and down is interesting to me because game three, he's willing to criticize him this early. It means he's not, you know, unimpeachable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn on the 35 games. Do like 67, 29, 30, 74. Go ahead for Nick Robertson.
Nick Robertson finishes the season as a Maple Leaf. True or false?
False for me.
God, these are good.
Thank you. False.
False.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
And I go back to if he feels like, if I feel like Pacioretty's going to stick around and if Berube's going to be that guy that says, yeah, you know, some good, some bad out of Pacioretty, then that lends me to believe that he's more up to play like 50 games or 60 games. And, you know, I get a sense that between him and Nick Robertson, that they might go back and forth if everybody's healthy.
I feel like, you know, this organization had what a lot of people looked at from the outside and went, there's just a bunch of guys there. There's Kerfoot and there's Robertson and there's Liljegren and all these kind of just whatever parts. And, you know, you watch them enough and you appreciate some little things they do. But I can see Berube coming in being like, don't need that. Don't need that. You know,
I don't know if you can just listen to what he thought when Berube just spoke moments ago about Pacioretty, about... Mm-hmm. Down low, holding on to the puck.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, creating... He wouldn't talk about just him shooting the puck in the net.
No, like if it's not... They're not shooting it in, they have it down there.
Heavy,
they're heavy.
They're big. They can control. They can protect. That doesn't fit into, like, a Nick Robertson.
Robertson legitimately needs to be a 25-goal scorer.
It really... For me, it just comes back at the end of the day. I think the guy, on a lot of shifts, has the heart of a lion.
He does.
But he's still light.
And he also started the year not wanting to be here, right? He asked for a trade.
And I believe that deep down,
both parties are like, eh.
He still wants out.
Oh, for sure. He just wants to play. If I'm Nick Robertson, put me in the worst team in the league. I want to be an NHLer who's relied upon, who scores.
And he could, like, on an Anaheim, on a Columbus, he could...
I'd take a flyer on him if I were to
be left
teams.
Alone for 15, 20 games, and lo and behold, you can look up and maybe see him
have a hat trick one
potted night. In like seven or eight goals in 20 games.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I don't know if it's going to happen here.
So,
better happen soon.
Both false on Nick Robertson's
attorney. They're both false.
Okay. This is Joseph Wall. This is looking way down the road.
Okay. Can I just finish though?
Yes. Please.
Like, again, credit to the Leafs and Nick Robertson for turning himself into like an asset, right? There's something there. Can you package it with a Liljegren? Can you throw in a draft pick and turn it into something else? Maybe not today or tomorrow, but come American Thanksgiving, when teams figure out they need some scoring, is when I think he becomes a little bit more valuable of an asset.
And credit to you for the Hannibal Buress meme that Nick Robertson was at his all-time trade value at the end of preseason. Why are you booing me? I'm right.
Trade him. And now it's like, how many? It's three games. Hasn't been awesome. Hasn't scored yet. It's like, well, he's starting to turn back into Nick Robertson.
Rick Robertson, his evil twin.
Yeah. Joseph Woll. Joseph Woll starts game one for the playoffs for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
True. Easy true for me.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're torn. That's how good these are.
I'm going false for sure.
Ooh, we haven't been getting your opinion on these.
I know, but I just the reason I asked this is because it's impossible to depend on him. It's impossible to depend on him.
It is, wow, but if he's available, then
but
you're betting against his injury.
100%.
Yeah, I do believe I'm going to say yes only because I think
it's true. Say true.
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 I think it's still true because that's where the focus and the push has been all along here.
Yes. Be healthy. Right. And for him to be the guy, they gave him the 11 schmil. He's the younger guy. He's the guy they've developed. He's technically sound.
Yes. Yes.
Save percentage of playoffs is through the roof. He's been awesome. When he's there.
Jake McCabe signs new long-term contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs before the end of the season.
Yes. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I heard they made great progress. The only thing was, again, could you figure out term? How many years does he want? Six? Does he want five?
Sure.
Six is
asinine.
That gets me a little squirmy.
Is it four?
Was he 31 or 32?
Four moves the AAV up, guys, right? Four moves the AAV up. That's the problem. So, you know, if I told you...
Just turned 31 2 days
If I told you this time last year or at Christmas that Chris Tanev was good, the Leafs were going to sign him to... what did he end up getting? 6 years?
Yes, he did.
You would have looked at me like I had three heads.
And I did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So,
bad contracts don't make other contracts good. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, just because that's silly doesn't mean silliness over here isn't silly. It's just more silliness. Listen, I also would like to say, I love Jake McCabe. Yeah. I think he's perfect for the Leafs. Yeah. Love the way he plays, competitive. I love his upside all around. But I think he has great years ahead.
He can get $5 million with his eyes closed.
On the open market?
Yeah, on the open market.
No doubt. Right? No doubt about it.
So, what are you willing to pay him for 4, 5, or 6 years?
So you're right. So is it 4 times 7, but we'll do 6 times 5? 6 times 5.5?
Yeah, that's the way they're thinking. Yeah. So I would believe that it's just a matter of structure right now. And we know money matters to this hockey club.
And then put a letter on his sweater, will you?
So judging by your answer, true.
True.
You're true.
True.
Yes.
Okay.
We're actually in lockstep here, Kip and I, which is not like us.
Auston Matthews ends the season with over 50 goals.
True.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, easy. Chris Tanev is the most important Leafs signing since John Tavares. Free agent signing, I should say.
TJ Brody was very helpful. Who else did they sign as a free agent to even compete with that? I mean,
give me a list.
I mean, you guys cover the Leafs.
Short-term memory. We've both been hitting the head too many times.
I'm going to Google free agent signings for the Leafs here. I feel like you guys would be good.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Like, the biggest one has to be Brody by dollars.
And OEL, you can see it. Like, in those first few games, you can see...
Michael Bunting?
That they've made a big difference. For me... Like, even watching them up against New Jersey, where it's like, would have been hairy last year or the year before, right? And now it just seems like being up 3-1 with Craig Berube's system of north-south lends...
Couple of grown-ups on the back end, adults in the room.
A better protection strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. It feels safer.
And it's built right into them.
By the way, if you talk to Leafs fans right now, that is the one theme I'm picking up, is a lot of people just saying they feel better about the team. Like, they don't feel like it's built on, you know, stilts on the beach or something? A little more cement base here?
Stilts on the beach. That's really good. Never heard that before. You heard that one before?
Just made it up.
You did?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty good. Just as good as true or false.
True or false is wonderful.
Last one I got.
All right.
This is a good one for the last one. Mitch Marner will sign a new contract at the end of the, before the end of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. True or false?
You would. You absolutely would.
Yeah. True.
False.
Oh!
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
False.
False.
Wow.
False.
Wow. That's an exciting one.
False.
Okay.
I think...
For our opinions on this, please check out Monday's show.
Yesterday was Monday. Yeah.
Check it out from 4:10 to 4:25. You can listen to us have this conversation.
All right, so you are comfortable if he signs long term?
What's comfortable? I'm not comfortable with him leaving for
like,
nothing.
I'm squirming regardless of what the contract looks like, but I'd rather have it than nothing.
Have you ever thought about him signing like in January and then the Leafs lose in the first round where you left?
He's Bagels. He's Sam where's Mitchell Sammy? Across the board. Yeah. Zero,
Sammy's a puddle,
zero,
man. We're checking Sammy into a clinic.
That's true.
At least then you have an asset to trade when we run him out of town.
But his full no-move clause is going to make that tough on the new contract. Anyways, the last one seems anticlimactic, but Oliver Ekman-Larsson leads the Leafs in scoring for defensemen. Seems true. Seems a lot less. Should have just ended with the Marner one.
Yeah. yeah, he does.
Yep,
true on that for me.
Okay, boys, the very first edition of True or False. I thought it was pretty good. Okay,
yeah, you guys enjoyed it. Listen, anytime, right. Brewbies, you just need that every day for the next 7 months, and we're in the clear.
Great stuff, guys. So there you go.
Okay, true or false? I mentioned a Dante's Fiesta when Gord Stellick returns after the show. After
it's
the break.
It's going to be true.
That is the lock of all locks.
All right, extra peppers. Gord Stellick. Analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, former general manager of the Leafs. Coming up next, more Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Cunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Leaf Edition.
Yes.
That's for Justin Bourne's followers.
I get a lot of tweets. Like, you guys talk a lot about the Leafs. It's like, the show's about the Leafs.
We're in Toronto.
The next hour is broadcast nationally, but not this one. This is Leafs.
We're in the Rockies. Duh.
Where we seldom mention the Leafs.
Yeah, that's right.
Until Sammy
brings
them up.
The second hour, we try to avoid
them. They hate us because they ain't us.
Thanks for listening, though.
All right, true or false? Gord Stellick's like the best guest we've ever had on the Real Kipper and Bourne show. True.
True.
He's the guy.
Let's ask him.
Looking great too.
Let's welcome him in. The lovely, the talented. Put your hands together for the lovely Gord Stellick. How are you, pal?
I am outstanding. How are you guys doing? Happy post Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah, it was a good one for you.
No, I worked a bit. You know, I've got to be honest. You guys have both been in the States. We get ripped off here. The American Thanksgiving's a million times better.
Oh, so much.
As I said, happy Thanksgiving, but I'm lacking sincerity. How about that?
You know, I love being in Canada and being Canadian. Americans do Thanksgiving right. It's a day with a day in between and parades and football. We got to work on that, Canada.
So I take it. You're not one of those guests that just race at the last second to put your earphones on and join the show. You were actually listening to our show the last 25 minutes or so.
I've been listening since 1 o'clock. I get very excited with the chance to come on.
We did a segment of true and false where, you know, Sammy thought about it maybe half an hour before the show. And I got to say,
probably
the best idea has ever come up with in 4 years.
True.
Low bar, I guess.
True. You want to take a crack at a couple?
Why not? Let's go. True or false? Yeah.
Oh, I got to go here?
Well, we're going to add his name to the list.
Yeah. Okay. Well, which one do you want? Which one do you think was the best question, guys? You have to You have to praise me here. What do you think was the best question?
Well, you know which one I want out of him.
Marner?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mitch Marner signs a contract before the end of the season with the Toronto Maple Leafs. True or false, Gordo?
False.
Jeez.
Wow. Okay. Give us the reason.
I'll take Potpourri for 40, please.
Take Paul in the block?
Yes.
Why?
Why? What's the point?
For Mitch?
What's it, you know, like, let's see. He's the Kawhi Leonard this year. Let's find out. You know, if they go big in the playoffs there, he can get a king's ransom anywhere. I don't know. I mean, what's the number? He wants the big enchilada. If he's willing to, and I don't fault him for going hard for whatever the number is, but if he wants to come close and equaling Austin Matthews, that's a little bit problematic getting all that in place. So I want him back. Don't get me wrong, but I, whatever. I just have a feeling this one's going to go down the wire. It went down to the wire last time, but he was a restricted free agent compared to unrestricted.
JB, you still buy into the don't lose an asset for nothing?
Yeah. Yep. I'm still on team.
Keep cap space.
What's
you
that?
Get cap space.
You do. I just think it's really hard to spend that in a better way in the UFA market. I just think it's hard, you know?
Yeah. No, it's two different things. There's no question. You want the player. Mm-hmm. You want the player. But this, you know, this problem has become because they've acquiesced every time when everybody wants top dollar. You know, and you look at the Dallas Stars, and I don't want to get into the no state tax and all that stuff. You know, you play up here, you're getting American money. You're getting like 40% on your dollar, 40 cents. Like, so whatever. I just mean things have fallen in line in certain situations in the salary structure. And here, you can't be on the high end, the total high end forever. And of course, with Tavares coming off, it does give you some flexibility. But anyway, I thought I'd mix it up a bit. Why not?
There you go. Mine is not a true or false question, but want to get your thoughts on a personality the Leafs have acquired here in Steven Lorenz. Really, you know, proud to be a Leaf, a big personality off the ice. You know, give us the history of guys like that here in Toronto. You know, people come in, David Clarkson wanted to be a man of the people and wanted it to go his way. It doesn't always go your way when you start out like that. You know, what are your expectations for how it's going to play out for Lorenz and the Leafs here?
Well, I love it. It's kind of like a poor man, Zach Hyman, in that Zach Hyman was a local guy that came with what we thought was a different role, but very quickly found a much bigger role. I'm not mm-hmm. saying Steve Lorenz or Lawrence. I know it's been pronounced both ways, but
you can't go wrong.
We brought in Wayne Simmonds, Joe Thornton, you know, these kind of people, Matt Martin, you know, whatever, just a lot of more veteran guys to fill in your third and fourth lines. And, you know, not local guys. I mean, Simmonds was a local guy, but kind of a bit older, different kind of role. So I like that. I mean, the third and fourth lines have constantly been changing every year, and you mm-hmm. want to get a little bit of an identity. I mean, teams like Boston have had a consistency to those lines over the years. So I think he's been the perfect kind of fit. And I always think, like Kippy knows, if you have a Stanley Cup ring, there's an intangible part about the more, it's not the be all and end all, but there's an intangible part about those guys that have experienced it and gone all the way. That's a plus to your hockey team.
I totally agree. Being around it, being part of the process, even if it was a limited role.
Do you see yourself in him?
Sure. But obviously on this hockey club, like right from the get-go, he's getting much more of an opportunity than a token fourth line mm-hmm. 7 minutes. I believe he was up to 15 last game.
Yeah.
Which he also led the first PK mm-hmm. on many occasions. So this guy, it's clear Berube can move him up and down depending on what he sees out of his opponents. But there's a comfort zone there that I think this hockey club still looks at him and goes, this is found money. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a different era, but, you know, Mason Raymond had that 1 year that he could play on any line here. He got the big contract in Calgary, and he never really, you know, parlayed it into how. But just that kind of flexibility and being able to play different lines, play certain roles, and I think that, Kippy, that and Justin, that's significant, and that's a bit of a different option. I also liked last game that Pontus Holmberg got moved up, but after the first period, he had a very tough first period against Pittsburgh. Very quickly, they flipped in with Max Domi. And Max Domi, like in the first minute, courtesy of a bad line change by Evgeny Malkin, really. But whatever, came out and capitalized getting the puck to Nylander. And I'm liking that fluidity and that kind of versatility and, you know, not putting it in a blender, you know, having some thought and reason and strategy about how to maybe mix the lines up, deploy them, have some different looks.
We talked a little bit before the break about what Chris Tanev has done for the back end, and I feel like we haven't talked about that addition enough and how it's changed what it is the Leafs look and feel like a little bit. You know, it's Morgan Rielly has always kind of been there for them, but do you feel like Tanev is going to become their Mr. Reliability? Is this like the guy who just, again, isn't in the conversation so much, but actually changes the material makeup of the core, something we've talked about for years they haven't been able to change?
Yeah, and as we look at, you know, Timothy Liljegren, another defenseman, doesn't look like he's going to be developed from within, and Rasmus Sandin's already got traded last year. I mean, all these forwards keep coming up, and nobody on the D side. And, you know, Justin Hall has a good year and then falls down. Brody kind of at the end fell down. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd like to maybe have had a Joel Edmondson's type here a little bit longer. But so Justin, I agree that there's a little more bite. They spent a little bit more money on him. He does all the team things well, the physicality, the blocking shots, the fearlessness, the guy that was not the flashy star. He was never drafted, you know, took the long route, both the Tanner brothers to come. So I think it's a very welcome different spice on a decor that every year, you know, you're excited about the forwards. You're hoping the goaltender stayed healthy. And then you're kind of worried about the depth of the D. And you still, there is maybe reason to worry about the depth of the D. But I consider him like a really, really blue chip ad. Mm-hmm.
For Tanev to look even better, does that mean that Morgan Rielly should start looking again as a 60 or 70 point guy like he was, I don't know, three seasons ago, four seasons ago? Like, how important is it that Morgan goes back to being that guy?
Yeah, big time. I think because every team needs that, and you seem to maybe have a 1B that I don't know if Oliver Ekman-Larsson, you view him as competition or it just helps to take some, you know, add to some of the D from the, or some of the offense from the D side. But I'm really big on Morgan Rielly, Kipper, and Justin. Quite frankly, if you would have asked me a year or two ago who should be captain, I would have said him. Would have been my choice. I don't have any quibble with John Tavares or Austin Matthews, but he's the one guy that is the oldest guy of that group that really have found a comfort zone here. Like Nylander, you know, I believe Marner has to a different degree, but Austin Matthews, and there's just a real comfort about being a Toronto Maple Leaf. But yeah, the offense a real plus. If you can get that offense, and he's had a couple of years, it's like someone who bats all of a sudden, you know, 320 one year and then goes down to 260 the next few years when they're in the major leagues. And yeah, you'd like to get those bigger stats, and maybe this is going to be a way. Like that Luke Shen connection for that brief period of time was just a great connection with him that really has seemed to jive. And I think they have the opportunity for this to work on a bigger piece than just from the trade deadline on in, like it was with Shen.
Gord, you've got a unique perspective in that you've seen the Leafs for a lot of years, and the way that they've been revered in this city, the way that they've been maybe reviled at times. It's kind of, you know, it's up and down, but there's always a lot of attention around it. I want to get your thoughts on how the best way to sell this team is now. It feels like public relations these days is quite a bit about making sure there are no bad stories rather than, you know, getting the team out there for promotion stuff. They did recently do something, I think, at a soup kitchen, which is awesome. So I guess I want to know the difference era-wise that you've seen this Maple Leafs team, how they've been sold to the public and how they've been received.
Well, the fact is, because you get the, you know, let's go to the grassroots, okay, in the trenches. And the difficulty about, and Kippy was in New York and Toronto, but I think he's a great example understanding here, is that, okay, it's a high profile. So when you're places, you get noticed all the time. They always talk about it being a tough place to play, but you get your ass kissed unbelievably here. You know, like that's the thing people don't realize. Like, you know, the fans, they're not really tough. They show up all the time. But you get your butt kissed and you get one playoff round and you kind of lose context and perspective. And I think like the difference, and I think they've ridden that too much the last number of years, that when they got eliminated by Columbus, eliminated by Montreal, it was like, oh, who's saying this crap against Mitch on social media? Why, no, you should be pissed off. How the hell did you blow those series? And I like the fact that Sheldon Keefe said, you know what? He did a hell of a job, but we didn't get to the next level. Yeah, all of them. Every one of them. Morgan Riley, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander. You have never got to the next level. And, you know, Justin, I had this analogy I thought a couple of years ago that it was kind of like the teenager that the parents give him the car and he phones and says, oh, you know what? I just wrecked your car. Oh, don't worry. Don't touch it. You can drive mom's car. We'll take it in. We'll take care of it. And a week later, he wrecks mom's car. Oh, don't worry. You'll get Uncle Nicky's car. Don't just whatever. We'll take care of it for you.
So
and
true.
That's what it was like after some of these playoff losses. What the hell? Come on. Come on. Don't say we turned a page and you learned. You didn't learn. That's why we're still here. Okay. It's unacceptable. And that's the kind of part. And stop kissing their ass when they get eliminated in the playoffs. You don't have to vilify them, but it's not acceptable. It's not good enough for this team, especially in 2024.
Is this why you took the bus a lot when you were a kid?
One crashed car.
Right, there's a lot going on here, Kippy. You know that, right?
A ton.
Still waters run deep.
A ton. We were talking before you came on about a Leaf power play that has the stats to say it's a top five, top seven power play, but we've seen it at times, especially with this group, disappear when it was needed the most. So what do you make out of their 0-for start in the first few games on the power play? Where's your level of concern about getting this thing going?
Well, there's no question. It hasn't been very good. I put in perspective, it's three games. I'm very, very biased because Mark Savard did a great job broadcasting, became a great friend. And I find there's too much emphasis on assistant coaches anywhere about, you know, whether it's a certain thing. So it's the guys on the ice that have to do it. He's a very smart guy. The way he saw the game, I really appreciated it. He really did. He's also maybe, you know, and Kippy, about having an elite player as a coach. Like, he may be the most skilled assistant coach they've had in quite some time. Like, he, when we did the games, he really appreciated the Mariners and the Nylanders and all they can do and what they can bring. So I think there's a certain spice that he's going to bring to the mix, not just there, but the other things about the elite players. But it seems to be something that it goes for 6 weeks, number one in the league, and then it goes for 4 weeks, number 20 in the league. And unfortunately, it's been number 20 every year in the playoffs. It's getting part of the problem. So part of it, get some of that consistency, whatever that level is, and have it play out in the playoffs. So you're getting more than two goals per game in the playoffs if you're getting that in the regular season, which I expect. So I'm not too worried about it. They got some – he's trying the quick hit, I noticed. One thing they're really – it seems like they have a bit of a set play in the first 10 seconds. They try the quick strike. I like that. That's something new.
Yep.
And then after – it seems like they're not staying on for a minute and 40 anymore. It seems like they're giving the second unit a little bit more time. Last game, I like that. They're only on a minute. Then when the second unit went off, they put them right back on when the penalty ended. And I think it led to a goal against the Penguins. So they're trying – there's a feeling out process going there.
Do you think, you know, related to this, Austin Matthews has 0 points through three games. Do you think that's connected to trying to play differently under a Craig Berube system? Or do you think it is pure happenstance? It just hasn't gone in so far.
Pure happenstance. I mean, yeah. He was the best player on the ice, I thought, Saturday.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that's great when he can be the best player on the ice and the team wins the game and he contributes and he's not going for 70 goals. I'll take four playoff games like that in a playoff series that, you know, Austin gets hardly anything, but because of the way they played, they got those four wins. So I actually viewed it as a positive, you know, just that the way he went and played. And that's the whole thing. Now, you know, this year, they all know what, you know, those kind of personal milestones, they've really all achieved them. They've achieved next contracts. They want to stay here. Let's be talking about in May, Conn Smythe Trophy consideration for being one of the top players in the playoffs, because there's not one of them that you've ever said, wow, what a great playoff by player X. Not once. So that is what. So whatever it takes over these 82 games that maybe incrementally helps a bit, I'm all for.
Joseph Woll's back on the ice, Gord. The feeling that we had on our show right from the get-go, where it was kind of skewed towards Joseph Woll kind of being that guy, and I don't know what that meant for Stolarz, 25, 30, 35 games. But has this small window, this crack that Stolarz has come through so far, changed any of that moving forward here for you? Or is this still kind of leaning towards finding a way to get Joseph Woll ready?
Well, you know, it's changed in a week because game one, you know, I was filling in for Ailish, and I was pretty critical at the end. It was a 1-0 loss to Montreal. And Samuel Montembeau had a hell of a game. And but I'm looking at this Leaf team where we left them last year. And where we left them was Joe Wall couldn't play game seven. And he can't play game one this year. You know, all of a sudden. And they couldn't score goals like they couldn't against Boston. So they didn't. And nobody got the David Pastrnak overtime goal against Montreal. So I viewed it, even though just like those are the kind of different things. And the one is injuries do happen. But man, oh, man. If we're going through this again, I find it very disconcerting. Hopefully it's a one-off, but I really like, and we've talked about it, Anthony Stolarz was one of statistically the top goalies in the league last year. He's not a two. He's certainly a 1B. And I like the way both of them, much earlier than we thought, embraced getting an opportunity to play goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I love Joe Wall as a goaltender, but just to not be able to start the season, even if it's a minor thing, then all of a sudden, Kippy, I'm thinking whatever games you were thinking, like for some reason, if you're thinking Joe Wall 55, then you get it down to 45. That, you know, they really, and Stolarz, who knows? You know, he could be the guy at the end. I mean, there's no bona fide number one guy right now in the Toronto Maple Leafs, as big as I am on Joe Wall. Mm-hmm. It's not something he's gone out and claimed yet.
One last true and false before we let you go. Do you dream about eating a Dante's Fiesta?
You know, I don't know where Dante's has gone. Yeah, but you know what, Kippy? I'm doing a little better. I would have the Fiesta about half or a third, and the rest I'd have in the fridge. And, you know, it would last a few more days. Unlike my Sportsnet days in the boardroom where I felt, you know, whatever was on the plate, I had to eat. And then you guys covered me on the panel as I sat there bloated.
But you're looking great, by the way. I would never.
I'm feeling great.
I would never do that to you.
We'll see you Friday, right, Gord?
Where are the clubs? Let's go clubbing.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, Gordo, thanks for doing this, pal.
Thanks, Gordo.
See you guys.
That is the one, the only, Gord Stelectricity.
Mm-hmm. On fire today.
On fire.
On fire.
Ironically.
See, he's buying into my, like, come on, let's go win around. Like, go big or go home on. You know, whether you want to move forward with Mitch Marner, Willie Nylander, and Austin Matthews still together.
Mm.
It's a terrible idea.
True or false, Sam Bennett plays the Leafs next year.
I don't know. What are they going to do if it works or it doesn't work? It sucks after that. You have to pay more money if it works and less if it does. It's gone.
The other one I had was true or false, Timothy Lillard plays a playoff game for the Leafs this year.
Oh, my God. What's beyond false?
No, I think that ship has sailed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Getting back in Wednesday, big debut.
Yeah, I actually, listen, I think he's a fine player. I don't mean this to be disparaging the hockey player. He makes $3 million, and they don't play him in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, fine player. They just doesn't work here at that cap hit for this coach.
What are they going to do when Yarncroc's eligible and they're
going to have to do people around. Getting yeah, no, they got to juggle. Yeah, they got to trim.
Somebody will get banged up.
Jeff Galuli's coming through the dressing room, taking on knees and... creating cap space at some point.
Well, boys, I would say, if I do say so myself, for not having much to talk about today, we had a good Leafs hour.
We did.
Thanks to you.
Yeah. I am the producer.
Okay, and just one note on that Buffalo Bills game last night against the Jets.
Yeah.
Can we run one play without a penalty?
Oh, it was painful.
Come on.
Jets in the red zone were a disaster.
It was a good Monday. Amazon had their game of the week, first one ever, but Monday Night Football.
Great.
Yankees.
But I can't wait. This is a couple hockey games.
Kind of
tonight,
a fun sport night.
Tonight on Sportsnet is just a unencumbered baseball playoff game. Yankees Guardians game two on Sportsnet.
And let me interrupt
Sportsnet
that.
Sportsnet one has the Raptors.
Central at 6:30. We got the Oilers tonight. You got the Canucks tonight. You got the Flames tonight.
Those are late ones.
Sportsnet hockey.
Unencumbered. Playoff baseball is what I'm telling you right now, tonight. Get the feet up.
You do you.
Oh, yeah.
National Hour, do we guess if the Oilers go 0-4 or not?
Oh, my God. It's the biggest game. It's such a big game.
By 11.
Must win tonight. Must win.
All right, don't go away. Because like I said earlier, we're going deep in the valley.
That's a weird
Steve Valiquette. Is that a movie or something? Where am I getting that from?
I don't know, buddy.
Not sure exactly, but it's the start of a title of a segment, which we need to work on.
True or false? Good name for a title.
Steve Aliquette. When we return to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, don't you dare move.